It is Friday, September the 14th, 2012. I am Steve Growick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, Growick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. And today, a very special guest, WWE Hall of Famer, conspiracy theorist host, which actually I want to plug that Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura returns to TV with True TV on November the 7th at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. He's also the former governor of Minnesota and a best-selling author, and today he's here to plug his new book, Demo Crypts and Rebloodlicans. It's a very special honor and pleasure to welcome Governor Jesse Ventura. How you doing today, Governor?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing great. We do appreciate your time. I know you're very busy in New York, doing a lot of interviews for the book. I guess the first question would be, how'd the book come about, and did you write this book with the time frame that you'd want to release this book in time for the election cycle, meaning that we're going to have to pick really essentially between an R or D this fall?
Well, yeah. You know, every year I live 4 or 5 months down in the Baja, and my co-writer Dick Russell comes down, and he has a place about a little ways from me. So we usually spend about 30 to 45 days of the winter collaborating on our books. It's, I think, my third or fourth book Dick and I have done together. And Dick's very important to me because I can't stand to do the research, and he loves to do it. You know, I like to read the research, but I don't like to try to find it, and that's what Dick is phenomenal at doing. So we make a pretty good team together. You know, we fill in the blanks with each other. But, yes, I wanted the book out, and, of course, publishers, they always want it out right away. So the book got released actually a month or two ago, but we decided to do a major press release on the book right during the election season because it is a political book, and it's this time of the year that people naturally turn towards politics, or almost forced to turn towards politics.
Right, exactly. What's been the reaction so far you've been receiving on the book?
Well, most reaction is people have been saying this book scares the hell out of me, that this book, I can't believe how corrupt that our system is. And I'm glad for that because that's why I wrote the book. I think the American people need to understand that these two political parties don't have your interest in mind whatsoever. I don't care what type of political theater they show you at their conventions and all that stuff. They are beholden to the corporations. They are just like street gangs. That's why I use the term the Demo Crips and the Rebloodlicans. And they're even down like street gangs, and they use the street gangs color code. Crips are blue and Bloods are red. Well, what's a blue state? That's a Democratic state. What's a red state? That's a Republican state. So they're even stealing the color code of the street gangs. Only these two gangs are way more dangerous than the Crips and the Bloods, and I'll tell you why. The Crips and the Bloods, they will only affect you if you've got them in your neighborhood. I don't think there are any in Minnesota, I don't know, but I've never ever come across them. But where Democrats and Republicans, they affect each and every citizen in our entire great nation. Everybody is affected by their gang warfare.
And I got to compliment you because I have read the book, and I do highly recommend it. Anybody that's a Republican or a Democrat, or if you're just one person that considers yourself a moderate, or you don't really consider yourself a political in the sense of I vote for R's or D's, to definitely check this book out. It's filled with a lot of facts. Obviously, the research has been is there. You guys did a lot of research on this book. Two questions about the book specifically. One was the title. Who came up with the title? Because I think it's a great title. And number two, the cover art for the book, which I think is great. There's a picture of a donkey and an elephant with heads on human beings, obviously representing the donkeys and the elephants, the Republicans and Democrats. So two questions, who came up with the title, and then talk about the book art a little bit.
Well, I came up with the title, but I didn't originate it. Back when I was governor, I don't even know who, somebody referred to the Republicans and Democrats while I was governor and called them, you mean the Democrips and the Rebloodlicans? And it kind of stuck with me. I thought, how appropriate. What a great name to call them rather than their chosen name. So when Dick and I did get together to do this book, I said, I have the perfect title for it. And away we go. But also, don't forget the subtitle. It's very important. It's No More Gangs in Government. You know, and that's the important facet. We need to destroy these political parties because, and I have good allies. If the reader reads chapter 2, you'll find out that there's three pretty important people that stand with me on this 100%, and that's George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and John Adams, three of the most important founding fathers of this nation, and especially the father of our country, George Washington. We quote him in some of his addresses, and if you've read the book, you know that he wasn't exactly overly joyed with political parties.
Exactly. I think our founding fathers knew where we were today with these political parties. I mean, they'd roll over in their graves for sure. And obviously today we see more and more demonization of the founding fathers, that, you know, we look down on them rather than, you know, lifting them up as the backbone of our country. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those founding fathers.
Amazing. Absolutely, and they were also exceptionally smart. We've also fallen victim to another founding father and what he said, Benjamin Franklin. And Benjamin Franklin said, "For those that will give up their liberty for security, they shall have and deserve neither." And we seem to be willing to do that. Everybody in this country, oh, make me safe, make me safe. Well, the only way that government can make you safe is to lock you down, take away your freedom. And that's what they're doing, and we seem willing to allow that to happen. Well, remember something. Liberty is security. You can't have security, truthfully, if you're locked in a jail cell.
I think it was Ben Franklin was asked when the country was founded, is this a democracy republic? And he said, it's a republic if you can keep it. So I think they understood they came from the British system, so they understood how much corruption can be out there and we're seeing it today, how pretty much at every level of government.
Oh, it's horrible. And our Supreme Court, when the Supreme Court made the decision that corporations have the same rights as individuals and that money is free speech, I believe that's going to destroy America in the long run, if that's allowed to stand. Because, and I'll be funny here, I'm waiting for the next guy who robs the bank and he uses his defense, I was only exercising my free speech.
I'm surprised a hotshot lawyer hasn't thought of that one already.
Well, I sure would. You know, when I taught at Harvard, I used to go to Professor Alan Dershowitz's criminal law classes. So, you know, I'd love to hear what Professor Dershowitz would have to say about that.
Governor, are you getting any flack from the Republicans or the Democrats after writing this book?
No, I don't. So number one, I never see them or talk to them usually. And number two, I'm sure they just ignore me. You know, I'm just a fly in the ointment. I'm just a troublemaker. And, you know, they've already tried to marginalize me because of my movie or my TV show Conspiracy Theory and other books that I've read and the fact that I question 9/11 and I certainly don't believe the assassination of John F. Kennedy. So, you know, that's what they do, and that's what mainstream media does to you. They marginalize you. And let's remember something on 9/11. The government only gave you their conspiracy theory. They've provided virtually no proof. They said the 19 Islamic radicals armed with box cutters defeated our multi-billion-dollar air defense system, all while conspiring with a bearded guy in a cave in Afghanistan. And we fully accept that because it's called the official story. Well, I want people to remember this. Anytime the government comes out with something and calls it the official story, it's to protect officials. That's why it has that name.
Well said. And obviously, when they put Osama bin Laden on the top 10 most wanted list, they never listed the crimes of 9/11. And when they were asked about it, they said, we didn't have the proof to put him on, to mention him in the crime.
Not only that, they never indicted him.
Right.
They allegedly went over and killed him, and they killed him without even indictment. They never went in front of any court in America and produced one shred of evidence of an indictment for murder on Osama bin Laden. And it goes beyond that. Why do you think they won't here's my thought on why they won't try any of the people down in Guantanamo. They have no evidence. They couldn't win a trial. So they're simply holding them all there, I guess, till they die. The guys have been down there now for 12 years, and not one trial over 9/11. There hasn't been one single trial over the 9/11 debacle.
As I understand it, too, the sheik that confessed to being the mastermind, he only confessed after being waterboarded over 100 times?
Oh, yeah. He got waterboarded like about 100 times, and I got news for you. If they waterboarded you that much, you'd confess. I said a quote once that a native at Yale University, apparently every year Yale lists their top 10 quotes of the year. And mine came from Larry King when I said, Larry, and I speak from experience because I've been waterboarded. You know, I had it in my training in the military, and it is torture. But I told Larry, I said, Larry, you give me Dick Cheney a waterboard in 1 hour, and I'll have him confess to the Sharon Tate murders.
Exactly.
And he would. No, he probably wouldn't, because Cheney's got a bad heart. Cheney would drop dead because waterboarding would kill him.
That's true. Obviously, we have this current election cycle, Romney versus Obama, and I heard you say on the Joy Behar show, if you had a choice, if you only could pick one or the other, which one would you do? And you said you'd take the bullet, which...
Well, she said that to me. She said, if someone had a gun to your head and asked you that you had to vote for one or the other, I looked at her and said, I'd take the bullet. Rather than vote for either one of them.
Now, I know you, Governor, were a big supporter of Ron Paul.
Yep.
Urged him, or I guess not really urged him, but you wanted him to leave the Republican Party and run as an independent or as a libertarian. The libertarian candidate, I don't know if people even realize this, it's Gary Johnson, the former governor of New Mexico. Now, you've also said that you support him, but at the same time, he's a former Republican as well.
Yeah, well, they drummed him out. He was moderate, and they wouldn't even let him in the Republican debates. They drummed him out of the party. So Gary's running under the libertarian banner, and I'm urging people, if you're angry with government, then take an anger vote. You're a wrestling show, right?
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
I urge all wrestling fans out there, have some guts. Don't vote for a Democrat or Republican. Vote for Gary Johnson, the libertarian candidate for president. They always tell you if you vote for a third-party person, you're wasting your vote. I'd like to reverse that thought and tell you if you vote for a Democrat or Republican, you're wasting your vote because you'll get the same government. It does not matter. Both sides are completely bought out by the corporations. That's who they pay homage to. That's who supports them, and that's who controls them. And so all wrestling fans, I urge them, vote for Gary Johnson. Will he win? Probably not. But I'll tell you what, if he were to get 9 or 10% of the vote, it would be huge, and it would send a shockwave through America if that happened.
Governor, do you know if Gary Johnson will be on the ballot in all 50 states?
I think right now he's on the ballot in 47 out of 50. But get this, on some of them, the Republicans have gone to court to keep him off. Now, is that democracy?
Not at all.
Not a bit. There again, it shows you the criminality of these two parties. They'll tie it up in court till the election passes by, and then Gary can't be on the ballot. That's a standard play they do. Whenever any third-party person or any third person tries to get into the game, they'll bring in lawyers, and they'll tie everything up in court in the states, and therefore it's tied up in court, and you can't get on the ballot. That's a ploy they use.
Once Ron Paul was eliminated from the race for the Republican nomination, were you disappointed that Ron Paul didn't run as a libertarian?
Yeah, I really wish he would have jumped. I think Gary Johnson and Ron Paul would be one hell of a ticket, either one on top and the other on the bottom, president or VP. I think it'd be outstanding. Let me throw this out to all the wrestling fans. If they want to, they can try to help me, because I made the statement with no parties. If a grassroots and wrestling could do this, if a grassroots movement started out there to get me on the ballot in all 50 states, and if they rose up and demanded, here's the second part, I have to be included in the debates, because if you're not in the debates, you have no chance. And remember this, they always tell you competition's good in the private sector. Well, how come competition isn't good in the public sector? It's been 20 years since we've heard a third voice in a presidential debate. But getting back again, if the wrestling fans want to get a wrestler in the White House, then go out there and get me ballot access in all 50 states, rise up and demand I be put in the debates. And if that were to happen, I would probably run in 2016.
Well, I definitely support that. I definitely vote for you in a heartbeat.
Well, you got the power. You're the one that has all the wrestling fans. You got to go to work and get me on the ballot between now and then. They got four years to do it.
Well, I'll definitely do that.
Okay.
You can count on that for sure.
All right.
Bank.
Okay.
What what can the average person that, you know, a lot of us are dumbed down, you know, we drink the fluoridated water. A lot of us some of us understand what's going on, but there's a lot of us that do not. And I think a lot of people have been woken up watching your TV show, The Conspiracy Theory, which of course is coming back November 7th on True TV. But to the people that are kind of coming awake, we know about TSA. Some of us know about NDAA. Department of Homeland Security is buying 1.4 billion rounds. We know about FEMA camps, thanks to your show, re-education centers. What can the average person – I think the frustration is the average person, they feel like there's nothing they can do. I'm just one person. Even if I know about this information, what can I do? What can you say to those individuals that feel so frustrated with the system they can't –
well,
feel like they can fight the system?
I'm going to somewhat repeat myself again. We have one thing that gives us the power to fight back. It's called the vote. Now – It's as easy as that. It's as simple as the nose on your face, but it'll be as difficult as climbing Mount Everest. You stop voting for Democrats and Republicans. Vote for anyone else. That's all it'll take. As simple as that. Now, as I said, it'll be as hard as climbing Mount Everest to get the population to do that, but if they're that frustrated, that's the way out. Stop voting for them. Vote for someone else.
I know one thing you cover is the rigging of the electronic voting machine.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think the way we vote is really what is representing the people? Or do you think there's so much fraud that...
Not if there's electronic voting machines. Let me put it in a simplistic form. Would you go to an ATM machine that didn't offer you a receipt?
No.
Exactly. Well, electronic voting machines offer you no receipt. If, let's just say hypothetically you're going to vote for President Obama. Let's take it a step further. Let's say you go in on an electronic voting machine and you're going to vote for Governor Gary Johnson. So you push Gary Johnson. You have no way of knowing that vote could be hacked into and that vote could be counted for Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. And there's no way you can do a recount because all they do is give you numbers like an adding machine. In Minnesota, we still have old ballots where you have to fill in the circle. That's what we need to go back to. If you're not capable of filling in a circle with a pencil, you've been doing it since first grade. How do you think you took tests in first grade? If you're not capable of doing that, then you shouldn't be voting anyway, I think. But you've got to go back. You've got to get rid of these electronic voting machines because like any computer in this day and age, it can be hacked into. There's no way to ensure the integrity of it. Why do you think they're putting them? Why do you think all the states are going to them? It's a way to fix the elections.
Yep. That's very frustrating, you know, because you, like you said, get out and vote, and at the same time, you get out and vote, and you don't know if your vote really counts.
Yeah, because you have no receipt. It doesn't give you anything that said, I voted for Gary Johnson. But when if you start in that circle and put it in there, well, then you know you voted for Gary Johnson because you did it. It's not a machine required to do it.
Right, exactly. I want to talk a little bit about your TV show.
Sure. I'll
plug in that's going to come. The new season's coming out November 7th, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central on True TV. I know there's, 7 or 8 new episodes coming out this season.
They won't do the 8th.
Okay. Can you give us a little preview of
what I'd like to talk about, they're going to be good. They're wild. I got Sean Stone with me now, Oliver Stone's son. He's one of my investigators, brilliant kid who graduated from Princeton. But I'd like to talk about the show that they're not going to let you see, and that's the one on the TSA. You know what we discovered they got in the future for you at the airports?
What's
they're going to give you these wristbands that you can have, and you won't have to go through security. You'll just pass your hand through, and it'll tell everything they need to know about you. But you know what they're not going to tell you about it? While wearing that wristband, they will be able to disable you like a taser.
Oh, my goodness.
So if you get out of line or cause a disturbance or they particularly don't like you, they can drop you right to the floor like a taser with it. And that's the part they're not going to tell you about.
So I assume this is Department of Homeland Security does not want the TSA episode to air.
I don't know. All I know is True TV, what we did the show, and they're only going to air 7 of the 8, and it's the TSA show they've chosen not to air at this time.
Now, Governor, I know you filmed the episodes last winter, your usual
cycle. Last fall.
last fall, and they would usually air in the winter time.
Yep.
Of course, we didn't see any new episodes air until the new season was finally announced a short time ago. Plugged on your Facebook there that was going to come out in November. What was the holdup?
They told me it was editing.
Editing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. We got them all done on time, and they got them when they were supposed to, and nothing happened with them. I finally did my voiceover work on four of them a week or so ago, and then, of course, I got to do the voiceover work on the final three within the next month. And I want to finish it because they're still holding one of my checks. I don't get paid till they're all done. And so they've sat on one of my checks now for nearly a year.
Now, I know one thing that threatened the future of your show was that you lost your, your lawsuit against the TSA was thrown out. Anyway, you filed the lawsuit and
I filed it under the Fourth Amendment, and the federal judge said she didn't have jurisdiction. Imagine that. A constitutional question and a federal judge doesn't have jurisdiction. Well, it shows that's what happens to every suit brought against the TSA or Homeland Security. The Justice Department simply throws them out. They won't hear the case. And that should tell people this. When you go to any airport in the United States of America, you are not protected by the Bill of Rights or the Constitution. The rules of the TSA fall under national security, so you can't even know what they can or can't do. So in other words, they can do anything they want to you at an airport, and there's nowhere you can go to seek redress for it. So remember that, all you people that fly. When you go to that airport, you are not protected by any laws. The government can do anything they want to you there.
And I assume in your episode that's not going to air also talked about TSA moving into public events.
Oh, yeah. And now they have these Viper teams. Tennessee's the first to get them where they're out on the highways, where they're going to pull you over on the highways and search you in your car without a warrant.
Nice.
Well, I believe we're heading into a police state, wouldn't you say, Steve?
I think we're pretty close to being there.
Yeah. And our government's fascist today. The loose definition of fascism is when corporations take over the government. I think Mussolini would be proud of us today.
Now, one thing I know you covered in your book was, I think, probably shocked some people, was that the corporations, they pay more for lobbying than they do in taxes.
Yeah, isn't that something? Major corporations pay more money to lobbyists than they pay in taxes.
So, like, GE pays
no taxes, but they pay millions of dollars in lobbying.
Google pays like 2% in
taxes.
Yeah.
See, that tells you how corrupt the system is. They will pay lobbyists so that they don't have to pay taxes. Is that American? I don't think so. You and I pay taxes. We can go to jail for not paying them.
And a lot of us do.
Yeah.
I wonder if you heard about Jerry Lawler.
Yes, I did. I rode the train, and I heard about it when I got here. I wish Jerry well. I have a speedy recovery. I will say this about Jerry Lawler. He is one of the nicest and best promoters I ever worked for when I wrestled for him for a brief time in Memphis, Tennessee. And here's my claim to fame. I defeated Jerry Lawler in Memphis, Tennessee, and he had never beat me. I'm probably the only wrestler in history in Memphis, Tennessee, that beat Jerry Lawler, and Jerry Lawler never beat me. It's a long story, but we don't have time to tell it now. But that's the facts, and Jerry will laugh like hell about it. But if I can get a message to Jerry, Jerry, speedy recovery, wish you well, my friend. Get back on your feet. Wrestling needs you.
Well, that's a great footnote to history of Memphis down there. I didn't realize that myself. That's pretty interesting.
He even beat Andre the Giant, but he didn't beat me.
Now, of course, Jerry is the co-host on Monday Night Raw, and of course, with him being recovering, is there any chance that Vince McMahon calls you and said Jesse comes back and be a color commentator for a couple of
years? Well, you know, I'd happily go back and do wrestling again. It only requires one thing out of Vince McMahon. You know what that is?
Money.
Put the decimal point in the right place. It all comes down to the decimal point, where it's at.
I wanted to ask you real quickly, do you think there's ever a chance you'll be involved in wrestling again?
No, I don't believe so. I'm not looking to get involved. And one of the things I'm most proud of was that when I retired, I did. I'm probably the only wrestler who ever never made a comeback. when I ended my career, I never came back. I never had another match. I didn't do anything. I moved on. You know, and so I would tell you, highly doubtful I'd ever be involved in wrestling. Like I said, unless all you wrestling fans tell Vince to put the decimal point in the right place.
I would definitely like to see that. One final question about wrestling.
Sure.
You accepted, you went back, you went into the WWE Hall of Fame. You did it for the fans, which we definitely appreciate. But we've seen, like, Bruno Sammartino has been outspoken that he didn't want to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and we may not see him be inducted into the Hall of Fame until he passes away. I just wonder if you had a, kind of an opinion about Bruno. Right?
Bruno hasn't passed away, has he?
No, I said, I think the only way you're going to see him in the Hall of Fame is when he does pass
away. You know, I understand Bruno has issues, but, you know, I would tell Bruno, Bruno, set him aside. You had a tremendous fan following. And you need to think your fans a little bit here. And I would love to see Bruno belongs in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about it. I know he won't go in because of how he feels, whatever, personal issues or whatever. But I think Bruno, I'd love to have him for a moment think about all the multitudes of fans the man had and how satisfied it would be for them. Because remember, ultimately, when you wrestle for the fans. You know, certainly you earn a living at it, but without the fans, there's no living to be earned. And so I wish Bruno would go into the Hall of Fame because he certainly deserves it.
And lastly, Governor, I'll plug the book again. We'll go ahead and plug your Facebook, I know, and your website. How can fans get a hold of Jesse Ventura?
Well, it's, my website is weaintgottimetobleed.com, all one word. And anybody needs to get a hold of me can do it through my publisher, Skyhorse Publishing.
Very good. Well, we wish you the best of luck with the book, the TV show, and we hope to talk to you again real soon, somewhere down the line.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Always a pleasure, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Governor.
All right, bye-bye.